think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Well, tonight, the Ghana Journalists Association is demanding the immediate dismissal of the Ghana National Fire Service Public Relations Officer Raymond Aka, citing unprofessional conduct in response to the alleged assault on a Class Media Group journalist. GJA President Albert Kwabena Junfo also wants the fire service to sack the perpetrators of the assault. The incident occurred while the journalist Samuel Adu was covering a fire outbreak at the Kasua New Market. He's accused the fire service officers of physically manhandling him and seizing his phone. The service has actually gone ahead to, confirm that his phone was seized. And the service has also launched an investigation into the matter. But Desmond Ake's response has sparked an outrage with public calls for his dismissal. I mean, the response by Desmond Aka is what is leading to this particular dismissal or cause for a dismissal. Today, GJA President Albert Kwabena Junfo described the incident as disturbing and called for the immediate arrest and prosecution of all perpetrators as well.
While the GJA entered this year with hope and prayers for an attack-free year for journalists, it is deeply disappointing and upsetting that the first reported assault against a journalist in the year 2026, in the year of our Lord 2026, has allegedly been perpetrated by men in uniform. This time around, not from our usual suspects, our men and women in black, all the military officers. I must say that the police, the Ghana police, has repented. They've repented to the extent that they are no more attacking journalists. And now the wheels of attack has been shifted over to the Ghana National Fire Service. So this time, the attack has allegedly been perpetrated by men in uniform, and this time from the Ghana National Fire Service. It has moved from the military to the police, now the Ghana National Fire Service. This development is disturbing and intolerable. The Ghana Journalists Association condemns in the strongest possible terms the brutal, unlawful, and reprehensible attack on Class FM journalist Mr. Samuel Adu, allegedly perpetrated by personnel of the Ghana National Fire Service during a fire outbreak at the Kasua Market in the Central Region on Sunday, January 4, 2026. Mr. Adu was lawfully carrying out his professional duties, reporting on the incident which is of major public interest, when he was reportedly assaulted by officers who should have known better. We all saw the viral video where the journalists and some civilians were being attacked callously with helmets. This attack is not only an assault on an individual journalist, but a direct attack on media freedom.
Well, Albert Kwabena Junfo also demanded a public apology from Chief Fire Officer Daniela Mausi in Tu Sapon to journalists and also the journalists involved, and called for the identification and sanctioning of the officers involved in this very heinous crime.
On one leg, they said that they are here to identify the officers. On that leg, they said the officers did not assault the journalist, and that they only took his phone. So which is which? You are here to identify that they are your members, they are officers. Yet, you said that they did not assault. So which people? The people who are not your members did not assault journalists or your members or the officers you're talking about. We don't get it. And on another leg, what he even said was that because of the safety of journalists and properties on site, when they go to the grounds, they have boundaries. They need to always protect their security zone. Colleagues, I want to state this on record, that the Ghana media, or the media all over the world, is a public interest media. and public interest media do not need any permission or authorization to discharge our duty. It is rather unfortunate that the security service, who should know better and whose responsibility is to protect and provide security for journalists to discharge its work, are rather obstructing journalists and attacking journalists. He said they've set up a committee in their statement. How can you set up a committee when you have not identified the people to be your officers? The GJ demands that the leadership of the Ghana National Fire Service, led by the Chief Fire Officer Daniela Mawusi Into Sapon, publicly condemns this assault, identifies the officers involved, and applies severe internal sanctions, including dismissal where appropriate.
Oh, my colleague Fatao Bayaga was at this news conference by the Ghana Journalists Association and joins me in studio with more. Fatao, we understand the GJ president also spoke strongly about the public relations officer of the fire service and the responses he's giving so far on this particular matter. What exactly did he say?
He described the manner in which the Public Relations Office of the Ghana National Fire Service, due to Desmond Akka, handled communication on the incident as unprofessional, saying his narrative was riddled with several contradictions. He further stated that attempts by the leadership of the GJ to engage him were met with disrespect, accusing the officer of ignorantly and rudely defending what he described as unlawful act. As a result, the association is demanding his immediate dismissal. Let's take a listen.
We also call for the immediate dismissal or removal of the PRO of the Ghana National Fire Service from the position, because our interaction with him on the case shows that he is unfit to be in charge of communication for that unit. He has demonstrated unprofessionalism. He has demonstrated incompetence. He has contradicted himself so much that I don't think that the media, our media, the media will lead, I will urge the media to ever deal with him. We are serving this notice so that swift action will be taken immediately. In the worst case scenario, it can be seconded or interdicted. We don't want him there. We cannot do. Our people cannot have interface, cannot communicate or have any working relationship with such a person. So if the fire service, the Ghana National Fire Service, wants to really have a very good working relationship with the media, they should find somebody who is professional, who has the competencies, who has the capacity and temperature to accommodate the media. We cannot accommodate that PRO. At the right time, we are going to address a whole press conference on him.
Quite a straightforward demand there by the president of the GJA. What else did he say?
Expressed grave concern over alleged threats against freelance journalist Joseph Akrofi Okanse, a former Eagle FM staff member. So he alleged that the threats were issued by the Member of Parliament for the Sege constituency, Daniel Kashibasi, and some party executives in the constituency, following a Facebook post by the journalist over an alleged disparity in the allocation of slots in the area. He described the situation as reprehensible and criminal. Let's take a listen to him.
Colleagues, the GJA also condemns in the strongest and most unequivocal terms the alleged threats, intimidation, and verbal abuse of Mr. Joseph Akrofi Okanse, a freelance journalist formerly of Eagle FM, by the Member of Parliament for the Sege constituency, Honorable Daniel Kashibasi, and the Sege constituency NDC communications officer, Mr. Freeman Edueji. This incident, which followed a Facebook post by the journalist calling for accountability from the MP on how he distributed slot allocated to the Sege constituency for the placement of the youth in the security services, particularly constitute a grave assault on press freedom and a deliberate attempt to silence a journalist for exercising his constitutional duty. When the journalist made the post, the youth organizer and the communications officer for the area called him on phone while the MP was on the line, where they all abused him verbally for posting on social media, demanding accountability without engaging them. According to the journalist, to the journalist. Former complaint to the GGA, the MP allegedly issued direct life-threatening threat. That is after he had complained, he has made a formal complaint to the GGA. The MP allegedly issued direct life-threatening threat, including a chilling statement about mobilizing fans to organize the funeral of the journalist and his parents. These allegations are reckless, reprehensible, and criminal. This is a threat of life. The GGA personally petitioned the Inspector General of Police, petitioned the Speaker of Parliament, and were sure that this unparliamentary comment made by a dishonorable member who face or see the full rigors of the law. We're sure that he will be brought to book. The GGA notes with great concern that this incident is not isolated. Since 2022, we have recorded at least 8 cases of attacks on journalists in Ada.
Well, so that was the GGA president there. So now he is talking about other matters involving journalists. We know that the MPP will be having the presidential primaries on 31st of January.
Exactly.
What did he say anything about that too?
Yes, he said that he is issuing a firm warning to the MPP ahead of this very crucial election. He said that the leadership of the party should ensure that its supporters refrain from attacks on journalists during the primaries.
The GGA issues a firm warning to the leadership of the New Patriotic Party to clearly caution and restrain its supporters ahead of the upcoming flag bearership contest. Political competition must never be used as an excuse to harass, intimidate, or attack journalists. Party leadership must demonstrate responsibility by making it unequivocally clear that attacks on journalists will not be tolerated. Call for responsible and ethical journalism. The GGA urges journalists to remain committed to responsible, accurate, and development-oriented journalism. Journalists must prioritize the public interest, promote national development, and contribute to social cohesion through fair, balanced, and factual reporting.
This is Top Story, brought to you always by Telecel Connecting Energies, Holy Insecticide Spray and Coil, Enjoy a Holy Sleep, and also by Short Pension Trust into the future with you. Now, let's bring in the General Secretary of the GGA, Dominic Uroji, who's joining us on the lines with more on this ongoing development. I'm grateful to you, sir, for joining us. Now, beyond the calls for dismissal of the fire service spokesperson, in the past, you've petitioned the IGP. Are you considering an option to petition the IGP to look into the matter of investigating the perpetrators of this assault?
Exactly. That was stated in our press conference that we'll be engaging the IGP to work on the issue to swiftly handle the attack case for us, because the case has been reported to the police in the central region, that is the Kasua police station, New Market police station. And so we expect that the IGP would call his men to work on the case as quickly as possible for us to get closure to this very heavy and disappointing development in the new year. So we will be engaging the IGP in terms of petitioning, sending our concerns to him, and then also encourage or urge him on to work on this case for us.
There have been several cases of assault on journalists that have not been resolved as of yet. How has this one gone? How would the strategy be in this one to ensure that we get indeed closure to this particular matter?
Okay, so the fact of the matter is that the Ghana Journalist Association is not a law enforcement agency.
Fact.
And you can only work through the law enforcement agencies to get justice done. And so all we have to do is to engage and so also do a lot of advocacy and then follow up on the issues. We have in the past done other things that did not yield the result that we wanted. This time around, we want to do a lot more engagement. If you recall, in the last last year, we had a lot of engagement with the security agencies, and that has led to some level of reduction in the attacks getting towards the end of the year, because we the IGP has given us assurance that he would work to protect the interests of journalists across the country. And so we are so much happy that things were going down, and our prayer for this year was that we will not have this attack happening. But the thing is that we've not had a situation where the fire service people were involved. Most of the cases, if you mention the security agencies that attack journalists, you talk about the military and the police. But this time around, for the fire service that we consider as not so aggressive people to be involved in this is so disturbing and worrying. So we'll continue to engage. Apart from the police administration that are supposed to work on this, we also want to further engage with the hierarchy, the leadership of the Ghana National Fire Service to get to the bottom of this, because the posturing from their end isn't good, isn't something that we appreciate. So we want to engage them so that we'll get closure, we'll get justice for our colleague who was attacked at the fire scene at the Kasua area.
The association is calling for the removal of the PRO or the fire service. If that call is not heeded to, is the engagement the next line of action, or there's a different action that you take?
So if that call is not heeded to, we advise ourselves. Already the president of the DGA has told journalists to take a stand against the PRO, and we will consider issuing a statement or getting to the media houses to disassociate themselves or not work with the PRO, because based on our engagement with him, we consider him as someone who should not be the one championing media relations with the fire service or public relations with the fire service. Because what he is doing, the work is that he is supposed to deal with the public, and you cannot deal with the public when you don't have when you don't deal with the media, that is the intermediary between the public and the Ghana Fire Service. And so for you to have that posturing, for you to demonstrate that you don't have what it takes to handle media relations and communication for the Ghana Fire Service, we consider it, we believe that it will be appropriate for the Ghana Fire Service, Ghana National Fire Service, to relieve him of his position or remove him from that and get someone who is more competent to handle that position.
In the
our
past,
stand. And so we believe that the media should also take this at the tail end of our presser. We said that anytime a journalist is attacked, we all need to solidarize. And in solidarity, you don't say that it's because maybe this has not happened in my media house, so you will not take action. You take action because tomorrow it can be you. So we want all journalists to work with the GGA, to collaborate with the GGA to ensure that this, the actions we want the law enforcement agencies and the authorities to take should be different enough to serve as lessons for people who harbor the idea of attacking journalists.
In the past, you've used blackout. Are we blacking out him specifically?
Yes, so that is what we mean by encouraging journalists not to work with him. So we are praying that the leadership of the Ghana National Fire Service will heed to this and get someone who will be able to work with the media, and for that matter, the public, their communication with the public will be disseminated by us. But if they don't do that, we'll go further to push for our people not to deal with him.
I'm grateful to you for joining us here, Mr. Hologi, Dominic Hologi, ASD, GJA General Secretary. We're joined now by a former Chief Fire Officer, Dr. Albert Brongese. I'm grateful to you, sir, for joining. Now, in the wake of this scenario, what just happened to our colleague journalist at Class FM, what is the possible disciplinary action that a fire service may institute?
Well, thank you very much for having me. Under normal circumstances, when such incident occurred, the police is informed on the scene and they follow due process of handling this issue if it's criminally related. And based on that, the investigation report is formally submitted to the management of the fire service and they take up the issue from there. That is if the police is involved. But if the police is not involved, what normally happens is that the institution, after receiving official report, forms a committee, internal committee, where if after investigation and preliminary prima facie is established, then appropriate DLIs or disciplinary code is also enforced. The committee will have to submit its report to the management, who may also intend from the structure, regimental structure of the fire service, the chief fire officer will have to forward it to the council, the fire service council, for appropriate decision to be taken, where maybe if interdiction or suspension or whatever it is will have to be done. So I'm relating this to two scenarios, that in terms of when a report is submitted to the police and we await criminal investigation from the police. And the other aspect is when it is informed, the institution is informed, due process is also taken. So these are the two scenarios I'm looking at within this contest.
Okay.
So the Fire Service Council has the right to take a final decision on the matter per the regimental procedures as outlined or as enshrined in the LIs that governs or that establishes the fire service. So that is one aspect of it.
And what sanctions are likely to be applied if the officers are found culpable?
Well, it depends on the magnitude of the offense and the investigations conducted thereon. If investigations are conducted and it is established that it is criminally minded, it is criminally intended, that has its own procedure.
Have you watched the video? Have you seen
one? Yes, I have. But you see, under normal circumstances, those are circumstantial information received or circumstantial observations received. That is why investigation has to be conducted. I wouldn't like to jump the gun by saying that this should be this should be that. Definitely, investigations should be conducted either by the police or by the fire service.
Yeah.
So I don't want to rush into that.
Okay.
When it's established and appropriate action has to be taken, that is where appropriate disciplinary measures are taken.
Let's assume we saw in the video what happened. Let's say the police establishes that these officers erred and in fact did what they did. What could be the likely sanctions?
No, but the fact that you wear uniform doesn't mean you are above the law. I mean, the police criminally has a procedure they follow. Matters are sent to court and action is taken. You know, likewise, after action is taken, the consequential effect by the fire service also can also be taken. So let's look at these two aspects of it. Police will follow their due process. A report is established that the person did commit such an offense. The fire service has also internal disciplinary mechanism that must be also applied.
Does it include demotions?
All aspects. I mean, the regulation, just because I've lived a little while, I cannot indicate, but demotion is part of it. Suspension is part, interdiction is part of it. Outright dismissal is part of it. Demotion is a reduction in rank, as we always say. Well, it stipulates appropriate prescribed mechanisms that must be enforced.
Now, in the wake of all of this backlash as a result of what happened, especially the call on the PR of the service to be relieved of his duty, what would be your recommendation to the service itself in terms of how it carries itself beyond this happening?
Actually, we need to look at it from several angles. When you talk of the operational aspect of the job, in terms of operational response, operational plan, the standard operation instructions, standard operation procedures. These are issues that have to be dealt with. In other places that some of us have had the opportunity of being trained, they have what we call unified response teams. Anytime there is fire outbreak involving a commercial center, story buildings, or depending on the nature of fire, the police has to go with the fire service. And the fire service needs to be accompanied by the ambulance. They respond together. So when they get there, the police will provide security. Fire service, that is the outer cordon. Outer cordon is done by the police. Inner cordon is done by the appropriate lead agency. That is the fire service engaging the operational response. Then the ambulance will be on standby. So on such incidents, we have the staging area and the command area. The staging area is where these equipment and relays are kept for response. Command area is where the incident commander and his people are. And they have a special area where maybe the media is also organized for briefing. And the briefing is done by the PRO of the service. You see? But in a situation where people want to get to the scene and they will not, they want to be part of the operational response, the operational action, definitely such pandemonium will create a problem. You see, so we need to structure a way of unified response in this country. Anytime there is a serious outbreak involving a certain number of multiple pumps, that is where the police quickly must have to go and provide security for the institution that is responsible for the operational response. An ambulance will stand by, and the other situations where you maybe have the NIB or the National Security or whatever it is undercover also seeking some other information. My time, these things were there. They were common established regimental protocols. You know, because you see, the problem is that most of these markets, apart from the fact that we claim or we suspect that they may be electricals, some of them are arson. My 30 years experience in Uber tells me they are arson. Mm. The reason is that they buggle the market. The criminals buggle the market, and after that, they set the place ablaze. And definitely, they will put impediments. Once you are fighting the fire, they will always put impediments in your operational response.
Okay.
So they will have assets of stealing at the market grounds.
Mm.
These are things that normally happens.
Okay.
So most of these market fires don't happen for nothing.
All right.
That is why it is always important that there should be a unified command responses, you know, towards these things. And moreover, to the protocols, the operational protocols, that they should have to use either guidelines or guidelines. Immediately such things occur, you protect the area, you cordon off the area with appropriate color code guideline. So that you know this area is protected from public intrusion or from media intrusion or from external intrusion. So immediately that happens, you cannot break the protocol of entering the hot zone. You see, we have a hot zone and the cool zone. The hot zone is the inner perimeter where the action is taking place. And the cool zone is where of the hot zone. You see? So media and the rest, normally when they get there, I mean, you cannot say that the media will go straight to the front of the wall where guns are firing, they see the bullets and the rest, and the media man has no gun to protect himself or herself. You know, we need to look at that scenario.
Okay.
So the most important thing is that anybody in future, any media personnel who wants to get to the fire ground must seek clearance from either the PRO of the service, so that after the fire, you can, from a certain point of view, cover.
I'm grateful to you, Dr. Albert Brown Casey. He is a former chief fire officer. This has been a tough story brought to you by Telecel, holding insecticide spray and coil and also...